divine grace. Chant the home of the Bhakti Pranaya.
Go, Sami, Srila Prabhupada. ISKCON Founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vriddhi Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Param Sai Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sitvaita Garadha Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikapana Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavanam Ki Jai, Maturam Ki Jai. Jagatasami Ki Jai, Yamunabai Ki Jai. Srimati Lasi Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hadwal. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Pranta Swamini Namani, Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pajani Nivashesha, Shunyavadi Paschachyate Jatarni. So, Om Aganata Madandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Meritam Yena Tazmai Shigadave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're going to continue with our study of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are on the 14th chapter of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjhima Lila, and we're probably going to be finishing this 14th chapter today. Wow. So, let us start. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, we'll start text 225. Sarvatra jala yahanamrita samana chitananda jyoti sadvadya yahan murtiman. The water in Vrindavan is nectar. So here, you're comparing, oh, let me just go back a little bit. We're comparing the opulence of Vaikuntha, which is where Lakshmi resides, or the opulence of Dwarka, where Krishna's wives reside, with the opulence in Vrindavan. And the opulence in Vrindavan doesn't appear to be so opulent compared to Vaikuntha, etc., like that. But if you look really close, you'll see it is infinitely more opulent. And because the relationships there are infinitely more intimate, then there's the opulence of the relationships and the opulence of the holy Dham, etc. So the water in Vrindavan is nectar. And the Brahmajyoti effulgence, which is full of transcendental bliss, is directly perceived there in its form. So, Lakshmi Jini Guna Yahan Lakshmi Rasamaja Krishna Vamsi Kari Yahan Priya Sapikaya. The gopis there are also goddesses of fortune, and they surpass the goddess of fortune who abides in Vaikuntha. In Vrindavana, Lord Krishna is always playing his transcendental flute, which is his dear companion. And nowhere else is that flute played by Krishna. Only in Vrindavana, remember that. So when you see some of these Hindi movies, the Bollywood movies that show Krishna playing the flute outside of Vrindavan, in Dwarka, or in Kurukshetra, or anywhere else, or Hastinapur, it's Maya, he's not. He leaves his flute behind in Vrindavan. This is from the Brahma Samhita, this verse. Shri Akanta Kanta Paramapurusha Kalpa Tarabo Drumabhumi Shintamani Kanamai Toyamamritam Katagaman Ganam Nacham Gamanam Apivam Shri Priya Saki Chidanandam Jyoti Param Apitad Ashvadim Apicha. The damsels in Vrindavan, the gopis, are super goddesses of fortune. The enjoyer in Vrindavan is the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna. The trees there are all wish-fulfilling trees. That's called kalpa, vriksha. And land is made of transcendental touchstone. Transcendental touchstone. If you don't know what touchstone is, that's a stone you can touch, obviously. That's why it's called touchstone. And it fulfills all your desires. There's that interesting story. I'll just tell the story, even though it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. In the material world, a touchstone is a stone that can turn something to gold. So once upon a time, there was a devotee who was worshiping Lord Shiva, and he wanted money. He actually wanted the touchstone. And he worshiped Lord Shiva, Om Namo Shivaya, Shivaya Namaha, Shivaya, Shivaya, Shivaya Namaha. And Lord Shiva said, "What do you want, my dear devotee?" And the dear devotee said, "I want a touchstone." And so Lord Shiva said, "Okay, go to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, you will find the touchstone with Sanatan Goswami." So this person, so happy, he goes, he runs to Vrindavan. "Okay, hoodie roll, touchstone ki jai." So he sees Sanatan Goswami, and he says to Sanatan Goswami, "Do you have a touchstone?" And Sanatan Goswami thinks for a second, and he motions over to where his garbage is. And he says, "Yeah, touchstone. It's in the garbage. Go get it. You can have it." So this gentleman goes over, gets the touchstone, and he is in ecstasy. So he starts turning everything to gold. He turns his wife to gold. Then she doesn't nag anymore. Anyway, I don't know if he actually turned his wife to gold, but he turns everything to gold. And he's thinking, "Wow, now I've got it made." But then he thinks, if this touchstone was in the garbage, there must be something more valuable. Obviously, people don't put the most valuable thing in the garbage. So he thinks, Sanatana Goswami must have something much more valuable. So he goes back to Sanatana Goswami. He says, "Sanatana Goswami, you have to have something much more valuable." And Sanatana Goswami says, "Yes." And the guy says, "Let me have it. Tell me about it." And Sanatana Goswami says, "Well, guess what? First you have to get rid of the touchstone. You have to throw it into the Yamuna water." And so this poor guy, he was having a nervous breakdown because the thing he wanted his whole life, you know, gold, unlimited gold, a touchstone, was in his hands. But he was being offered something infinitely more valuable. So for a few hours, he was just like hesitating, you know, just looking at the touchstone, crying, just having a nervous breakdown. Finally, he decides, "All right, that's it. I want something more valuable." He takes the touchstone and throws it into the Yamuna. And once he throws it into the Yamuna, he goes to Sanatana Goswami. He said, "Okay, I got rid of the thing. What's more valuable?" And Sanatana Goswami said, "Repeat after me. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Lord's holy names, and that's infinitely Chintamani, you know. Ooh. Nama Chintamani, Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purna Shuddha Nityamukto, Vinatvama Nama Namino. So it's infinitely much more valuable than any wealth you can have in this material world. But we don't appreciate that. So anyway, so in Vrindavan, the transcendental Vrindavan, all the land is a touchstone, but not a touchstone that gives you gold, but a touchstone that gives you Krishna's lotus feet. The water is all nectar, and the talking is singing, the walking is dancing, the constant companion of Krishna is his flute. The effulgence of transcendental bliss, is experienced everywhere. Therefore, Vrindavan Dham is the only relishable abode. And of course, as I said before, it's a quotation from the Brahma Samhita, 5th chapter, text 56. Chintamanis charanabhushanam angananam shingarapushpatarvastaravasaranam Vrindavane vrajadanam nanukamadenu Vrindani chetsuga sanduraho vibhutahi. The anklets on the damsels of Brajabhumi are made of Chintamani stone. The trees are wish-fulfilling trees, the same thing, and they produce flowers with which the gopis decorate themselves. They are also wish-fulfilling cows, kama denus, which deliver unlimited quantities of milk. These cows constitute the wealth of Vrindavana. Thus, Vrindavana's opulence is blissfully exhibited. Of course, this verse is from Vilvamangal Thakur's works, and is also quoted in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.1.173. Krishna Karnamrita. It's actually from the Krishna Karnamrita. Shuni Prinave Shinrichakare Srinivasa Kakshatali Vajayakare Atahatahasa. Srivasa Thakur then began to dance in ecstatic love. He vibrated sounds by slapping his armpits with the palms of his hands, and he laughed very loudly. And the reason that's happening is that Srivasa Thakur was being like the attorney for the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and he was describing the opulence of Lakshmi, and Lord Chaitanya was describing it, Sarupa Damodara Goswami was describing the opulence of Vrindavana, and the opulence of Vrindavana far surpassed, infinitely surpassed, the opulence of Vaikuntha. Radhara Shudavarasa Prabhu Aveshe Shunila Seira Saveshe Prabhu Nritya Harambila. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these discussions about the pure transcendental mellow of Srimati Radharani absorbed in transcendental ecstasy. The Lord began to dance. Rasaveshe Prabhura Nritya Swarupera Gana Bala Bala Bali Prabhu Pate Nijakana. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstatic love and Sarupa Damodara was singing, the Lord said, "Go on singing, go on singing." The Lord then extended his own ears. Vraja Rasa Gita Shuni Prema Uthai Lila Purushottama Grama Prabhu Preme Vasai La. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love was awakened by hearing the songs of Vrindavana. In this way, he inundated Purushottama Jagannath Puri with love of Godhead. Lakshmi Devi Yathakate Gela Nijagara Prabhun Richakare Haila Tritiya Prahara. Finally, the goddess of fortune returned to her apartment in due course of time as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing. Afternoon arrived. So the goddess of fortune could not enter Vrindavan because she was attached to her opulence. So what does that mean as far as we're concerned? That if we're attached to opulent mode of worship and the rules and regulations, just very attached to them for the sake of rules and regulations, then we go to Vaikuntha. And if you follow the rules and regulations, but do it spontaneously out of love, from the heart, Then you go to Braj in the spiritual world. Chari sampradaya gana karibahu shranta kayela Mahaprabhuta prema vesha dviguna badila. After much singing, all four Sankirtan parties grew fatigued, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love increased twofold. Radha prema veshe prabhu haila se muti nichananda dure deki kari lena stuti. While dancing absorbed in Srimati Radharani's ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in her very form. Wow! Seeing this from a distant place, Nityananda Prabhu offered prayers. In other words, Nityananda Prabhu at least was able to see Srimati Radharani. Phew. Nityananda dekhiya prabhur bhava vesha nikate naishe rahi kichu duradesha. Seeing the ecstatic love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu did not approach, but remained a little distance away. Because Balaram remained some distance away from Srimati Radharani. This is actually the mood of Lord Nityananda. Nityananda, Balaram, hoila natai. Nityananda bina prabhu ke dari konjana prabhuravesha nayaya narahe kirtana. Only Nityananda Prabhu could catch Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the ecstatic mood of the Lord would not stop. At the same time, kirtan could not be continued because the devotees were completely exhausted. Bongi koi sarupa sabara shrama janaila bhakti ganera shrama deki prabhura vaya hoila. Surup Damodar then informed the Lord that all the devotees were fatigued. Seeing the situation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his external senses. Sabha bhakta lana prabhu gela pushpol janai vishrama kariya kaila majanika snane. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then entered the flower garden with all of his devotees. After resting there for some time, he took his afternoon bath. So all this happened in the morning. Jagannathera prasada ila bahu bahara lakshmira prasada ila vivida prakara. Then there arrived in large quantities a variety of food that had been offered to Sri Jagannath and a variety that had been offered to the goddess of fortune. I guess that's how they pacified the goddess of fortune. They gave her a lot of food to eat. Savalana nana range karila boshana sanjastana kari kaila jagannatha darashana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finished his afternoon lunch, and after his evening bath, he went to see Lord Jagannath. Jagannatha deki karena nartana kirtana navendre jalakrida karelana bhakta gana. As soon as he saw Lord Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to chant and dance. Afterward, accompanied by his devotees, the Lord enjoyed sporting in the lake called Narendra Sarovara. Now remember, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was still in Gundicha at this particular point and still in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Udyane asya kaila vana bojana ematakrita kaila prabhu astaya dina. Then, entering the flower garden, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his meal. In this way, he continuously performed all kinds of pastimes for 8 days. And of course, on the ninth day, they went back. Aradini Jagannathera Pitara Vijaya Rati Chari Jagannatha Chali Nijalaya. The next day, Lord Jagannath came out from the temple and, riding on the car, returned to his own abode. That's Nilachal. In other words, he returned to Dwarka and he left Vrindavan. Purvabhat Kaila Prabhu Nana Bhaktakana Paramanande Karena Nartana Kirtana. As previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees chanted and danced with great pleasure. Jagannathera puna pannu vijayaila ekaguti bhatadori tanha tuti gela. During the Pandu Vijaya, Lord Jagannath was carried, and while he was being carried, a bunch of silken ropes broke. That's when Lord Jagannath was carried either to his cart or from his cart. and he's carried by these silken ropes, and he's so heavy they have to bounce him from one cotton pad, which is called from one cotton pad to another cotton pad, and these cotton pads also broke in addition to the ropes being broken. Panduvijayera tuli pata putiyaha. And there's the word tuli, batches of cotton. Jagannathera bare tula udiya palya. When the Jagannath deity is carried at intervals, he is placed on cotton pads. When the ropes broke, the cotton pads also broke due to the weight of Lord Jagannath, and the cotton floated into the air. Kulina garami ramananda sacharaja kana tanriya dila prabhu kariya samana. Ramananda, Vasu, and Satyaraja Khan were present from Kulinagram, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great respect, gave them the following orders. Ei patadorhira tumiao yajamana prativatsara nive dori kariya nirmana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda, Vasu, and Satyaraja Khan to become the worshippers of these ropes and every year bring silken ropes from their village. And Prabhupada says, it is understood that the silken rope was being manufactured by the local inhabitants of Kulinagrama. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Vasu and Satyaraja Khan to get ropes every year for Lord Jagannath's service. Etabali dilatan re chinda pata dori ihadeki karibe dori ati drila kari. After telling them this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed them the broken silken ropes, saying, "Look, just look at this sample. You must make ropes that are much stronger." Ei patadori tehaya sheshadishtana dasamurti hanayeno seve bhagavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then informed Ramananda, Vasu, and Satyaraja Khan that this rope was the abode of Lord Shesha, who expands himself into 10 forms and serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And for a description of Sheshanag, refer to the Adi Lila, 5th chapter, texts 123 to 124. So we find that all the Lord's paraphernalia, is an expansion of Sheshanag, or an empowered expansion of Sheshanag, such as the Singhasana, the sitting place, the umbrella, the Brahman thread, etc., of the Lord. And that's Balaram. Of course, Sheshanag is Balaram. Bhagyavan Satyaraja Vasu Ramananda Sevagya Panahaila Paramahananda. After receiving orders from the Lord for the rendering of service, the fortunate Satyaraja and Ramananda Vasu were highly pleased. Prativatsara Gundi Chate Bhaktagana Sange Patadori Ladahashe Ativararange. Every year thereafter, when the Gundicha temple was being cleansed, Satyaraja and Ramananda Vasu would come with the other devotees and with great pleasure bring silken rope. Tabi Jagannath Yai Vasila Singasane Mahaprabhu Gariyaila Lana Bhakta Gane. Thus Lord Jagannath returned to his temple and sat on his throne, while Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence with his devotees. Whew. What chapter? Emata Bhakta Gane Yatra Dekaila Bhakta Gana Lana Vrindavana Kele Kaila. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the Rath Yatra's ceremony to his devotees and performed the Vrindavana pastimes with them when he was in Gundicha. Chaitanya Goshanira Lila Hananta Apara Sahasravarana Yaranahi Paya Para. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are unlimited and endless. Even Sahasravarana, that means Lord Shesha has unlimited heads. Lord Shesha cannot reach the limits of his pastimes. And here we are at the end of the chapter. Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pari Yara Hashad Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahi Krishna Das. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath Das, Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Wow, what a chapter. Most intimate chapter. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Maja Lila, 14th chapter, describing the performance of the Vrindavan pastimes and the Hera Panchami Yatra. Hera Panchami is the goddess of fortune. On the fifth day, she attacks the associates of Lord Jagannath, because she's very upset that Lord Jagannath has not come back. And he agrees to come back, but he doesn't come back till the ninth day. And one thing you'll find very interesting in this particular chapter is that there's not much description of the return wrath. There's a lot of descriptions of the of yatra, the return yatra, and yatra means the cart. There's a lot of descriptions of the yatra going to Gundicha, and practically nothing, you know, very, very minimal discussions of the yatra coming back from Gundicha. Why is that? Because when the yatra is going to Gundicha, the Lord is bringing Krishna. And of course, the Lord is Krishna. But the Lord is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. But the Lord is bringing Krishna, that's funny, to Vrindavan. But on the way back, Krishna is leaving Vrindavan. So it is not such an ecstatic occasion as when the Lord is being brought to Vrindavan. The Lord leaving Vrindavan is ecstasy, but it's in the ecstasy of Vipralamba. Vipralamba means separation, intense mood of separation. So it's like painful bliss for the residents of Vrindavan when he's going back to Dwarka. So that's why there's not so much description of the return yatra, just of the going yatra. So now we are going to chapter 15. That's pretty good. And we ended, you see, what was the verse we ended with? It was number 257. Okay, and now we go to 15, starting with 1, of course. Of course, we start with the chapter summary. Let's go. So, all right, chapter summary, and the chapter is entitled The Lord Accepts Prasadam at the House of Sarvamahama Bhattacharya. This is a very interesting, very, very interesting pastime. So, the following summary of this chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabha Bhasha. After the Rathayatra festival, Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu worshipped Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with flowers and tulsi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in return, worshipped Advaita Acharya with the flowers and tulsi that remained on the offered plate and said a mantra, Yo si, so si namos tute. Whatever you are, you are. But I offer my respects to you. Very humorous. Because they're both God, they're both the same person. Anyway, then Advaita Acharya Prabhu invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for prasadam. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees performed the Nandotsava ceremony, the Lord dressed himself as a cowherd boy. Thus the ceremony was very jubilant. Then the Lord and his devotees observed the Vijaya Dashami, the day of victory. Wow. Darsarha. When Lord Ramachandra conquered Lanka. And actually the day when he killed Ravan. The devotees all became soldiers of Lord Ramchandra, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the ecstasy of Hanuman, manifested various transcendental blissful activities there after the Lord and his devotees observed various other ceremonies. Wow. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then asked all the devotees to return to Bengal. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Nityananda Prabhu to Bengal for preaching, and also sent Ramdas, Gadadhar Das, and several other devotees with him. Now that Gadadhar Das is not Gadadhar Das Goswami, but another Gadadhar Das who is considered to be the effulgence or an incarnation of the effulgence of Srimati Radharani. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great humility, sent some Jagannath Prasadam and a cloth from Lord Jagannath to his mother through Srivas Thakur. When the Lord bade farewell to Raghava Pandit, Vasudev Dat, the residents of Kulinagram, and other devotees, he praised them for their transcendental qualities. Ramananda Bhosu and Satyavaja Khan asked some questions, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed them that all household devotees must engage themselves in the service of Vaishnavas, exclusively devoted to chanting the holy name of the Lord. He also instructed the Vaishnavas from Kanda, as well as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Vidya Vachaspati, and he praised Murari Gupta for his firm faith in the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra. Considering the humble prayer of Vasudev Dat, he established that Lord Sri Krishna is qualified to deliver all the conditioned souls. Thereafter, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepting prasadam at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma's son-in-law, Moga, created trouble in the family with his criticisms. The following morning, he was attacked by the disease of Isuchika, cholera. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very kindly saved him from death and enlivened him in chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. So many nice stories in this particular chapter. Let's start. Sarvabhauma grihe bhunjan swaninda kama mogakam angi kurvan sputam chakre goraswam bhakta vaschatam. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking prasadam at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Moga criticized him. Still, the Lord accepted Moga, and thereby showing how much he was obliged to his devotees. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Chayana Chananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktavrinda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, all glories to Dvaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Jaya Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Shrota Gana Chaitanya Charitamrita Yanre Prana Dana. All glories to the listeners of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita who have accepted it as their life and soul. What a wonderful literature. Prabhupada, thank you so much for giving us this literature. Ey Mata Mahaprabhu Bhakta Gana Sange Ilachile Rahikare Richa Gita Range. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at Jagannath Puri, he constantly enjoyed chanting and dancing with his devotees. Pratamavasare Jagannatha Darashana Nritya Gita Karidanda Paranama Stavana. In the beginning of the day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the deity of Lord Jagannath in the temple. He offered him obeisances and prayers and danced and sang before him. Upalaboga Lagile Kare Bahira Vijaya Haridasa Mili Ase Apananiliya. After visiting the temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would remain outside during the Upalaboga offering. He would then go meet Haridas Thakur and return to his residence. At noon, when there was an Upalaboga offering at a place called Boga Vardhana Kanda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go outside the temple. Before going outside, he used to stand near the Garuda Stamba column and offer his obeisances and prayers. Afterwards, the Lord would visit Siddhapakula, where Haridas Thakur lived. After visiting with Haridas Thakur, the Lord would return to his own place at the abode of Kashi Mishra. So we understand that Haridas Thakur was not allowed to go in the temple because he was born in a Muslim family. There was this unfortunate discrimination, caste consciousness or whatever, against those who were not considered like really so-called high-class Hindus. However, Lord Chaitanya showed that because Haridas Thakur was a pure devotee, the Lord personally came to see him every day. And that's amazing. Lord Chaitanya would, instead of Haridas Thakur going to see Lord Jagannath would come to see Haridas Thakur. Okay. Gare Vasi Kare Prabhu Nama Sankirtana Advaita Siyakare Prabhura Pujana. Sitting in his room, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant on his beads, Hare Krishna, and Advaita Prabhu would come there to worship the Lord. Sugandhi salilaitena paja achamana sarvangi lipya prabhura sugandhi chandana. While worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaitacharya would offer him scented water to wash his mouth and feet. Then Advaitacharya would smear very fragrant sandalwood pulp all over his body. In other words, Advaitacharya would worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though Advaitacharya was far older than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, old enough to be his grandfather. Galimaladena Mathaya Tulasi Manjari Yodahati Stuti Karipade Namaskari. Sri Advaita Prabhu would also place a flower garland around the Lord's neck and Tulasi flowers, manjaris, on his head. Then with folded hands, Advaitacharya would offer obeisances and prayers unto the Lord. Pujapatre Pushpa Tilasi Sheshaya Achila Sesabalana Prabhu Acharya Pujila. After being worshipped by Advaitacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take the dish containing flowers and Tulasi and with whatever paraphernalia remained, worship Advaitacharya. Yosi sozi namo stute e mantrapate mukhapadvajyakari prabhu asaya acharya re. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would worship Advaitacharya by chanting the mantra, whatever you are, but I offer my obeisances unto you. In addition, the Lord would make some sounds within his mouth that would make Advaitacharya laugh. E matanyone karena namaskara praburene mantrana kare acharya bara bara. In this way, Advaitacharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would offer their respectful obeisances unto each other. Then Advaitacharya would extend an invitation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again. Acharyara nimantrana ascharya katana vistari vani achina dasa brindavana. Indeed, Sri Advaitacharya's invitation is another wonderful story. It has been very vividly described by Brindavana Das Thakur. Punarukti hayataha nakailun varnana aravaktagana kari prabhura nimantrana. Since Advaitacharya's invitation has been described by Vrindavan Das Thakur, I shall not repeat the story, but I shall say that other devotees also extended invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Eka eka dina eka eka bhakta grihe mahotsava prabhu sangeetahan bhojana kari bhakta sabha. Day after day, one devotee after another would invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the other devotees to lunch and would also hold a festival. Charimasa rahila sabe Mahaprabhu sange jagannathera nana yatra deke maha range. All the devotees remained at Jagannath Puri for 4 continuous months, and they observed all Lord Jagannath's festivals with great pleasure. Krishna Janma Yatra Dine Nanda Mahotsava Gopavesha Haila Prabhu Lana Bhakta Sava. The devotees celebrated the festival of Janmashtami, Krishna's birthday, which is also called Nanda Mahotsava, the festival of Nanda Maharaj. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees dressed themselves as cowherd boys. Now, one interesting thing about Janmashtami is the actual celebration of Janmashtami is actually the day after which we celebrate Janmashtami. In ISKCON, we celebrate Janmashtami at midnight, going up to midnight on the day before the actual celebration that Nanda Maharaj did, which is called Nandotsava or Nanda Mahotsava, as mentioned here. It means the festival of Nanda Maharaj. So that's why the devotees fast up until midnight, and then they can take a little bit of breakfast, prasadam. But the actual feast is supposed to be on Nandotsava, not on Janmashtami day. Although, you know, for whatever, you know, it's a tradition now also in India and everywhere else that you actually do the actual feast or a feast on Janmashtami day, but the feast is actually supposed to be, you're just supposed to basically fast and eat very simple and maybe take a little breakfast, a little fruit at midnight or something like that, but the next day is the day you're supposed to really celebrate. That's interesting. And that next day also is Srila Prabhupada's appearance day. That is also very interesting. So the celebration for Krishna's appearance and Prabhupada's appearance is actually the same day. The Ashtami, of course, we call it Jana Ashtami, is the day before. Ashtami means the eighth day of the moon. And the ninth day is actually the day that Prabhupada appeared. And the day that Nanda Maharaj had the celebration, because Krishna appeared at midnight, and you're not going to have a big feast at midnight unless you're an ISKCON devotee. Then you'll eat a big feast at midnight. But actually, the big feast is supposed to be the next day. And then you can have a big feast in honor of Prabhupada and Krishna's appearance. But actually, that's the system. Hate to break it to everybody who enjoys eating like anything at midnight. Because that's... I mean, we did that, and Prabhupada had us do that for a variety of preaching reasons, but actually, technically, it's not supposed to be like that. Technically, it's not supposed to be like that, but for preaching, yes, you can do that. For preaching, there can be some adjustments being made. Because no one would fast till midnight unless they could eat like an elephant at midnight. You know, you tell the devotees, just fast, but don't eat till the next day. Ooh, you will have a revolution, a coup d'etat, so to speak. So Prabhupada understood that and also understood what was best for preaching, and he adjusted things in the Krishna consciousness movement, and actually in regular Hindu society it's adjusted like that too. But technically speaking, the festival, the prasadam, is the next day after Krishna appears. Think about it. When do you celebrate someone's birthday? Do you celebrate it right before the lady gives birth? I don't think so. I think you celebrate the appearance of a child after the lady gives birth, not before the lady gives birth. Anyway, forgive me if I am sort of disturbing some of your traditions. So anyway, so we're going to end here and take some questions. Think logically, Prabhus and Prabhis and Prabhinis and whatever you are. Okay, so you can type your questions. Oh, Rishikesh, you have a question. You are quick on the draw. What's your question?
Thank you, Sridhar. Well, this is Sridhar. I wanted to know how this our Acharya celebrated Janmashtami, like Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami. How did they celebrate Janmashtami?
They stay up all night waiting for Krishna's appearance, and then the next day they have the celebration, the feast. I mean, they celebrate waiting for Krishna to appear, but the big celebration is the next day. That's why it's called Utsava. Utsava means festival, not Utsava. But you know, you read about the events preceding Krishna's appearance, and then Krishna appears at midnight. Krishna appears at midnight, and when after Krishna appears at midnight, then you're celebrating. That's a tradition. That's the Gaudiya tradition, actually. However, in the modern day and world, you know, you have a Janmashtami celebration, and actually, he appeared on the Ashtami at midnight. And it's also the next day too. Anyway, which is interesting. Anyway, so it's all right. I mean, the main thing is to celebrate Krishna's appearance, And traditionally, there would be a Kadasi breakfast, and not even a Kadasi feast. It would be just like a little liquid, maybe a few pieces of fruit, and then the big celebration would be the next day. It wouldn't be a question of a feast at midnight. It would be a question of a break fast. Break fast means not break head. There's a difference between a break fast and a break head. Actually, break head is actually Prabhupada's words. One time they gave Prabhupada a big, big breakfast, and he called it, this is not a breakfast, this is a break head. Because when you eat very heavy at night, it is very bad for your health. But, you know, we have people who Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krota Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udrapasa Vegam. And I, you know, frankly speaking, I was into it too when I joined the Krishna consciousness when I was a young man. I don't think I could have just celebrated Janmashtami by taking a little fruit juice at midnight. I think that would have been like too much for my little brain. I mean, now it's whatever. But when I was young, it wouldn't have been too much. And when you're preaching to people, it's too much, you know, all day long, and they're building up for Krishna's appearance. Joy, Krishna, midnight arti. Okay, here's a little apple juice. I think that would have really been, that would be counterproductive for preaching Krishna consciousness. Can you imagine that? You know, this everybody's staying up all night having this massive kirtan, and they get apple juice at midnight. So we have to, I think preaching is the essence, purity is the force, books are the basis, utility is the principle. So that's what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada understood what he needed to do to spread Krishna consciousness. Because I think Janmashtami would have been like not a popular festival if there was nothing to eat. I mean, even we see that the majority of people come to our temple on Janmashtami, they're snacking throughout the day anyway. They're not fasting. And you see that we're passing out a big feast to everybody at like 7 or 8 o'clock at night on Janmashtami. But that's all right. They're celebrating. I mean, we don't want to be ritualistic. They're celebrating Krishna's appearance. That's wonderful, ecstatic. We facilitate that. People are contributing to the Krishna conscious movement. That's wonderful. But technically speaking, you celebrate someone's appearance after they appear. Technically. We do that in the material world. It's not that I go, let's say if I go to someone's home when the lady's in labor and say, let's have a big party. I mean, I think that would be kind of silly. And the man saying, I want to take her to the hospital. I'm saying, no, you should have a big party. Instead of taking her to the hospital, just have a big party and let her give birth in the middle of the party. So the whole point is, anyway, whatever. Preaching is important. I'm not going to get into details about these things, but I'm just saying, logically, I'm giving an explanation. That's all. And how many Vaishnavas traditionally would celebrate Janmashtami. But who amongst us is ready to fast for the whole day and just drink a little apple juice at night? None of us. So don't. Got to be practical. So, on that happy note, I probably discouraged a lot of people from Krishna consciousness. So, all right.
Gurudev, I have a question.
You have a question?
Yes. I was reading the Bhagavatam in the morning, and I read that Lord Vamandev, he put second step on the universe, and there was a hole in the universe, and the Ganges flew.
He kicked a hole. Yeah, kicked a hole in the universe. Right.
And then the Ganges flew. So I was wondering, what is this Ganges Ota? Is this the Garbha Ocean?
Not the Garbha Ocean. It's the Karana, like we have Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, it's the causal ocean. Causal ocean. The Garbha ocean is the ocean that's within each universe, and the causal ocean is the ocean that's surrounding all the universes. right? Yeah, garbha is within the universe. Garbha means within the womb, like garbo means womb. So it's, yeah, that's the garbha dakshai Vishnu. First you have the Mahavishnu is in the causal ocean. And, you know, it's subtle water, but it's water, and the water manifests more, goes to the heavenly planets first, and is brought down by Bhagirath to the earth planet.
So you are saying it is Ganges is a Karna ocean.
It's river, the Viraj. Viraj. Okay.
Yes, Guru.
Yeah, it's not the Garbhadak ocean. Oh. It's the Viraj. All right. Actually, we were just in the mood of Vrindavan, and you took us to the material world, Sumukha, so that's very unkind of you. You know, you took us to the causal ocean. I was just thinking about Vrindavan and Janmasthami, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm immersed in the causal ocean. Okay, so who has a question about Vrindavan? Or any other question? You can write down your question, you can raise your hand, or you can unmute yourself. You got three choices. One, going once. Or we can end early. It's not actually earlier. It's already on the hour. Okay. So I guess that's it. No questions. Going once, going twice, going three times. And I guess that's it. We will see everybody tomorrow evening, same time, same station. All glories to His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premananda. Hari 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 Gaur.